are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
We light this chalice, thinking of the spark of life which infuses all creation, from the smallest bacterium to the largest whale. Through myriad shapes and sizes, we recognize the life force sustaining all, and we give thanks that we are able to share it. And those words were from Andrew Usher, who was a previous member of this church.
It's time for the story for all ages. And this morning, I thought I'd take Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland as the story for all ages. And don't worry, I'm not going to read the entire story to you or anything like that. I just thought there was one snippet in it that is relevant for us all, as there are many lessons in Lewis Carroll's work. And it was that time in the story when Alice was completely lost. Remember, she'd shrunk, she'd gone down into Wonderland, racing around. And there were several paths that she came across, and she didn't know where to go. And suddenly, up in a tree appeared the grinning Cheshire Cat. Not quite a friendly grin, kind of a sly grin he was giving her at that time. And she said, "Can you help me, sir?" And he said, "Oh, maybe." I think he was very reticent to give assistance. And he said, "How do you need help?" And she said, "I need to be told where to go." And he said, "Where do you want to go?" She said, "I don't know." "What road do I take?" And the cat asked, "Well, if I don't know where you want to go, how can I tell you?" "I don't know," answered Alice again. Then said the cat, "It really doesn't matter, does it?" So think about that. If you don't know where you want to go, there's no point in asking for assistance. First work out your goal. Time for meditation. And so I'll just read this little piece first, but get yourselves comfortable, and then we'll have a period of silence for that. As drops of rain that find each other and build to become a track, a rivulet, a stream, a river, a sea, so we are drawn together. So we are fortunate to find each other. So we are bound together on this shared passage toward an unknown ocean and eternity. It is a time of change we're going through, particularly in our community here, with the vote next week for whether we're going to take on a new minister or not. Even if we don't do that, we are going through change, and we know that. When I look out over the membership here this morning, there are many faces that were here at the beginning of COVID but are no longer with us. Change comes upon us. It's something we can't stop. It's something that we need to accept. I don't know if any of you have read the poem Ithaca, the Island of Ithaca. It was by Constantine Cavafy and was based on Homer's Odyssey. In that poem, Kavathi talks about Ithaca as this mythical place of perhaps perfection and hope and love and life and acceptance that we would like to achieve, where there's no issues about wealth and health, everybody is treated equally and everybody gets an equal share. That's why I love that hymn that we sing often, "For everyone born a place at the table." It really resonates with me. But before I start that part this morning, I'd just like to read you this as a starting point for our thinking, because I hope as we progress this morning that you will be thinking about what's happening around us. "Suspended between all that was and all that might be, we struggle to find this very moment, to live this very moment. Let us sit together for a moment and savour this moment. Let us relish this between time where past meets future. Let us harbour a faith that reminds us that right now, right here, is enough." So what an incredible time in our journey towards our individual Ithacas have we been experiencing over the last few years. Change came into our lives suddenly and unexpectedly. This shouldn't surprise us, as change often comes that way. But how will we cope with the changes that are brought about by this journey that we're undertaking, and the Ithaca we hope to arrive at the end of our journeys? Evidently in Chinese, the symbol for change is the combination of the characters crisis and opportunity. Crisis and opportunity in change. And that's something that David Clements was mentioning last time that he spoke to us in his address on entrepreneurial spirituality. Marian Williamson states in her book, The Gift of Change, that every change is a challenge to become who we really are, and that every problem implies a question. Are you ready to embody what you say you believe? How we respond to situations that present themselves determines the spiritual transformation that will take place. The spiritual meaning of every situation is not what happens to us, but what we do. How we react to the situation or change that is occurring. We don't have a choice over the changes sometimes, but we do have a choice about our own personal reactions to it. Viktor Emil Frankl was an Austrian neurologist and psychiatrist, as well as a Holocaust survivor. He survived 4 Nazi concentration camps, including Auschwitz, and wrote that the prisoners who lost hope in the camps were almost certainly doomed. He said, "With their loss of belief in the future, they also lost their spiritual hold. They let themselves decline and became subject to mental and physical decay, and death would soon follow after that." Buddhism teaches us to be aware of the impermanence of things, the precious fragility of everything. Imagine a single blade of grass, a much-loved coffee mug, a fading photograph, a quick kiss. I have a favourite coffee mug. It's now looking very old and tired. It has my name on it, John, and it gives a rundown on what John means. But it was given to me by my mother about 15, 20 years ago. And when I want to feel close to Mum, I go and get that coffee mug out, make a cup of coffee, and sit and have my coffee and think about Mum. So it's there. But it's a transitory thing, I know. I expect someday that I will drop it or somebody else will break it and it will be gone. Transition is an aspect of life and death within the independent web of existence, isn't it? All the world's religions point to this truth in one way or another. Everything is impermanent, always changing, ending and beginning again. I remember as a lad in year 11, I think it was, had this brilliant geography teacher who said to his class, "Look out the windows. What do you see out there?" And we said, "Well, see the Mount Lofty Ranges, could see buildings." He said, "Ah, the Mount Lofty Ranges. Who thinks they'll always be like that?" Well, yeah, they had been for the last 17 years of my life. Why would they change? "No, they're changing all the time. You can't see that. It's not permanent." And that made me stop and think about impermanence. You get some of those teachers every now and then. Very rare, but worthwhile when you get them. Buddhism states, "It is our resistance to this truth that is the cause of all suffering. So when we resist the thought of impermanence, we suffer. Our craving for what is good and pleasant causes suffering just as surely as our fear of the bad and unpleasant. For anything desired, once attained, carries within it its own ending. Whatever it is will not last. From the ice cream consumed a few minutes ago to friendship that lasts a lifetime, everything has its own ending built in. If we cling to such things, we suffer their loss all the more. We must embrace the whole of our lives, the beginnings and the endings. We must hold everything lightly, for everything passes. On our journeys to Ithaca, though, we will gain much more than mere material possessions. We shouldn't allow our fears to interfere with our journey. Going back to when Helen and I went to Antarctica, and I know I've told this before, but it fits in with this. There were a couple of occasions when fear of not having an obvious way of returning home began to take its toll. Remember, we were stuck off the coast of South America. No country wanted us. All the airlines had shut down. They weren't flying from South America. Well, they were, but they were going in the wrong direction. And we had no way of knowing how we were going to get home. We were told by the director of the group that if worse came to worse, they would sail the ship back to Australia. That meant coming right down the east coast of South America again, around through Cape Horn again, and then up through the... And if you'd ever sailed in that water down there, you know just how rough that can be in this small boat. But at least it was a bit of hope that they were giving us. Some fellow passengers on that trip appeared to not want to work as a team in order to solve the problem. Some took it upon themselves to find alternative solutions to the problem by using their telephones and saying, oh, there are airlines moving, we can get on those. And all that did was cause more anxiety and concern. And it gave the feeling that we'd lost control over most aspects of what were happening to us. As a means of handling the negativity that was building within and around us on the ship, Helen and I joined a small group of passengers in meditation early in the morning. These meditations guided us to a place of peace and calm, which was great to begin each day with. At the end of the meditation, the woman who led it gave each of us a word related to what she perceived for us to be necessary to contemplate individually each day. I remember the two words she gave me on one occasion were peace and compassion, and that really helped anchor me for that day. All my thoughts or my connections with the fellow passengers, whatever I did, were guided by that. They became a mantra in my mind, and indeed for the rest of that trip. Helen and I talked a good deal about how we were feeling when our journey changed so suddenly, and we had no idea where our next Ithaca or port would be. During these discussions, we made a decision to work on controlling our minds by staying in the moment as much as possible. Staying in the moment, a challenge. It was something we'd lost initially when we were faced with the unexpected challenge of getting home and all that entailed. One thing that we both felt quite strongly about was no matter how long it might take, we would eventually get home, and that this would require a team effort with our fellow travellers. It wasn't going to be an individual thing. Working on maintaining inner peace and compassionate attitude towards each other as well as other passengers and crew was a huge part of this process. Staying in the moment and not letting ourselves think too far ahead also became a key element in coping with the situation. Staying in the moment gave the opportunity to listen to what our fellow passengers were saying as well as observing signals from them that indicated someone was not coping at a particular point in time. So on our journey to Antarctica or Ithaca, we had fulfilled a dream, a lifelong dream, about going to Antarctica, and we were not disappointed by those experiences we had. We had found our destination at the end of the voyage completely changed from what we had planned. A different port to disembark, empty airports, empty planes lining the tarmacs and runways, deserted cities, but as the last stanza in the poem by Kavafi states, and if you find her poor, Ithaca won't have fooled you. wise as you will have become, so full of experience, you will have understood by then what these Ithacas mean. So are we heading towards a new Ithaca because of COVID and all the other things that have happened? What will it be like if it is there? What differences will have come about? How will our lives have changed? What will we have learned about this unexpected journey? Will we be prepared to work collectively for the common good? And that's an issue that I think we really need to think about. It's all very well to go on about individual rights, but what about the common good and responsibility to each other? Those are questions we need to be asking ourselves continually. Will we be able to listen to each other with greater compassion and use discussions as a means of doing this rather than strengthening a position which might be described as binary, that is, Team Red versus Team Blue, progressives versus conservatives, conservationists versus rampant developers, or will we practice more completely the principle of seeing inherent worth in all humanity, one of our principles in Unitarianism? These are the challenges that I believe we face as individuals in our church community, our nation, and as members of the world population. If we are unable to face these challenges compassionately, we leave ourselves in danger of having to deal with a similar situation that America is facing at the moment, with its faulty democracy, with its binary thinking, with its resistance to change, without thinking about their responsibilities to each other rather than their constitutional rights. Let us hope that by our actions, we and our leaders will be able to avoid the mistakes being made in the USA at the moment that are once again tearing that country apart. And to finish with, I'd just like to read the words from this hymn from the UUA. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change. Alive from deep within the earth, it is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change, alive from deep within the earth. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. We are fortunate that our church community provides a great base from which to broaden our interactions with the wider community in a positive way, seeking to create a more equal and compassionate society. So be it.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitariansa@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.
Go in peace. Let us go in peace, ascribing to to all that is worthy in life with hearts warmed by our fellowship with each other, encouraged and supported in facing the challenges which confront us, and filled with energy, enthusiasm, and compassion, which are to be found in our community of faith. Go in peace with hopes revived to live fully in a troubled world. And those were the words of Eric Stevenson.